Welcome everyone to another day, another week here at the Damage Report. I'm John Iadarola, despite your suspicions that might be creeping up. It is me. It's me, damn it. And that's Francesca Fiorentini, host of the Bituation Room. Francesca, how's it going?
Good, John. So good to start another week with you here. Giving very Bill Pullman vibes, if I'm being honest.
Bill, is that the dude from
Independence Day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like Bill, but you know, my dad actually looked a lot like Bill Pullman. So I guess that sort of makes sense. Do you watch, what's his show now where he's a detective?
No, I don't.
The Sinner. You don't watch it?
No, I don't.
It's good. Anyway, maybe that's why I liked it. Okay, well, getting called Bill Pullman is a friendlier start to the show than I expected from Francesca.
I mean, we could start with Little John, yada, yada, yada. Another Monday with Little John, yada, yada, yada. What'll you talk about today?
You know, I assumed you were gonna make some joke about, like, I thought I knew what a baby face was like, but damn. You guys are the worst. So I'm just mixing it up. I say that I do this every year and that it's usually a bad idea, and that turns out to mostly be true. But I also think I might do a little social experiment. It might be that it's just shocking initially. But what if I kept it going for a month? In a month, would people think it looks ridiculous? I might have to poll people now and in a month. Let's see if we can get a poll up on Twitch about beard or no beard. We'll see if the numbers shift in a month.
Let's get a Bill Pullman going.
Bill Pullman.
You know that like babies are not like, when their dads shave, they're like, ah. So I feel like this is what your audience is gonna go through. Is like, everyone's gonna be like, yeah, you're not John, you know, for like a while. And then we're gonna get warmed up to you.
Anyway, is that Game Set John or Michael Weatherly's less well-known little brother? Who is Michael Weatherly?
Oh, okay,
during the break, I'm gonna look up all of these references that I don't get. Michael Weatherly is an actor? Okay, anyway.
Very we're gonna look Bill these up Pullman, during the break. Like shockingly Pullman. You've got like the same, he's got the lips. He's got the same little lips.
Okay, this is getting meaner as time goes on. Thanks. Really like loving my decisions in life. Okay, everyone. I thought, you know, usually during the beginning of the show, I wait a little bit before getting into the news because the news can be a little bit depressing. But the beginning of the show is now more depressing. So I think I'm ready to do the news. How's everyone feeling? You wanna talk about the news? Let's talk about the news. I'm begging you to talk about the news with me. So everyone, we're gonna jump into a lot. We've got Dilbert Geddin and high profile defenders of Scott Adams. That'll be fun. We've got a Monday Menace for you coming up soon. Let's see, investigations being launched by the House, including ones that at least ostensibly could be important. So we'll talk about that. And then in the aftermath, we've got climate activist David Fenton is gonna be joining us to talk about how we should be talking about climate change to make sure as many people as possible care about it, center it in their politics. And are there elves in Mexico? We're gonna be diving into that near the end of the show. And then we might make fun of Marjorie Greene for her little inspirational workout video a little bit. Is it below me? It probably should be, especially now that I'm wearing a tie, but I'm gonna do it anyway. So in advance of all that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be great. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets, or super chats, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Francesca, are you ready to start the show?
Yes.
I'm looking at the chat every once in a while and regretting it every single time. Okay, with that said, let's jump into this.
So if you know, nearly half of all blacks are not okay with white people, according to this poll, not according to me, according to this poll, that's a hate group. That's a hate group. And I don't want to have anything to do with them. And I would say, you know, based on the current way things are going, the best advice I would give to white people is to get the hell away from black people. Just get the fuck away. Wherever you have to go, just get away.
So that is Scott Adams, who makes the Dilbert cartoon, which apparently up until at least recently was still going on. That was a shocker to me. And he does these videos where he just goes off on right-wing rants and increasingly racist stuff, as you saw there. Those particular comments that you just saw were made in the context of a Rasmussen poll in which 53% of black respondents said that it was, quote, okay to be white, while 26% disagreed with the comment and 21% responded that they were not sure. For context, the saying "it's okay to be white" is considered by many groups to be a hate slogan. It's something that white supremacists say, yes, to sort of normalize statements of white power that don't seem as initially offensive, but are generally only used by those sorts of people. So that's fun. Anyway, as a result of all of those little comments he made about staying away from black people, and we're gonna get to more of the video, don't worry. Various media publishers announced that they will no longer be providing a platform for Dilbert, and they denounced his comments as racist and hateful. And this includes USA Today, Boston Globe, Washington Post, the New York Times print edition, a whole lot of them. In fact, Andrews McNeil Universal, which is the group that distributes Dilbert, cited his remarks in announcing that it was gonna sever all ties with him, saying, quote, "As a media and communications company, AMU values free speech, but we will never support any commentary rooted in discrimination or hate." So we're gonna eventually get to his reactions as well as more of his comments. But Francesca, what do you think?
I just think it's funny because Dilbert is so old and so irrelevant and also very much for like white, like sensibilities, white people, older white people specifically, and maybe even some liberals. I remember my parents who like worked in an office environment, were working at like in early Silicon Valley, they like read Dilbert and whatnot. So you could imagine these magazines and newspapers moving away from Dilbert anyway. And of course the right would be like, you're canceling Dilbert. And then you put a mic in front of this dude's face and it's like, oh no. He actually is awful. He is trash. And again, they kind of like speaking to like the importance of inclusivity and also the importance of sort of interrogating some of the ways that like, and this is just from like a cultural worker perspective, like just some of the ways that the artists and the cartoonists and the people that we lift up and have these like cushy ass positions are actually on the inside horrible, you know? And that doesn't mean, look, you can be a bet, you can, I don't know, not help an old lady cross the street and you can still deserve like to have a cartoon, but like being just like an out and out racist like this, I just think it's very I don't know, fitting and perfect. And also, homie, haven't you heard of redlining? Like a lot of white people are keep away from black Americans by design, and they can sort of run cover and say that they're not necessarily racist, but the way that our cities and our communities are divided, the way resources are divvied up, you know, it often has, it's just segregation, it's resegregation in so many places around this country.
Yeah, by the way, we're gonna get to his full response, but understand before I give you more of his comments, for context, he says he's not a racist. Which is novel, because generally when racists get caught saying racist things, they admit to it. Okay, they just admit that that's what they are. Anyway, he says, "I don't believe that we should treat anyone based purely on what group they're a part of." But he said the thing about all white people should stay away from black people. He says that he already had moved to an area with a low density of black people, but don't worry, he said he did it because of something that Don Lemon said. He says that based on the poll results we talked about, he's now going to re-identify as white. You understand, he's re-identifying as white because he used to identify as black, because he's not a racist. He says he doesn't want to do that anymore because he doesn't want to be a member of a hate group, of which all black people are, although again, don't judge everyone based on their race, except that he is repeatedly. Anyway, it's just terrible. He says, you need to just get away from them, especially, quote, those who don't want to focus on education. That's a fun little thread we can pull on if you want, what he means by that. He's followed that up by saying he's, quote, really sick of seeing video after video of black Americans beating up non-black citizens. What? Insisting that it's, quote, every damn day he sees a clip of, quote, some black person beating the ass out of some white person.
Right.
Well, I'm gonna say, it's like if I were to be like, you know, I'm sick on Instagram of seeing all these ads for like douchey jackets. Like, I did something in the past that got me those ads. I'm gonna say that if you keep seeing these videos, you did something that led to you seeing these videos. Maybe It's the right wing media that you follow that scours our country of the better part of 350 million people to find an ever flowing amount of very targeted videos to justify the hatred that you feel. Maybe it's not actually representative of everything that's going on. Have you considered that?
Also, have you considered how to read polls? Because even if you were to accept the premise of it's okay to be white in the most benign form that it comes in, which it's not benign, as John mentioned earlier, it is absolutely a white nationalist slogan that they post around, that they talk about, and then you can't be like, but it's not okay to be white. What do you mean? See, you know, like it's just like, oh yeah. God. Actually, if anyone wants to check it out, News Broke, the old show that I used to host, Matt Lieb, who was also a host on it, did this amazing video about it's okay to be white and that entire sort of that slogan. So you guys should look that up. But John, 53% of Black Americans said, yeah, it's okay to be white. That is the majority. So what is he pulling on? The 26% that disagreed?
Well, look, that's his best case scenario, is to say that that's an accurate reflection of what people think, which I don't think it is, but let's say that it was. So you think that both races should segregate from each other,
yep,
because of what a very small minority of one of the groups thinks about the others, more so than what you clearly think about these people. Anyway, I do want to give you a little bit more of what he had to say, because again, he's going all over Twitter saying, he's got this post up where he's like, unless you watch the hour and 59 minute long video he posted, he's not gonna listen to any of your criticism. As if like his consent is necessary for the criticism to matter or something. That's a novel way to approach life. But here's a little bit more of what he had to say.
And so I'm gonna back off from being helpful to Black America, because it doesn't seem like it pays off. Like, I've been doing it all my life, and I've been, the only outcome is I get called a racist. That's the only outcome. It makes no sense to help Black Americans if you're white. It's over. Don't even think it's worth trying.
So bear in mind, that is Scott Adams before some of the developments. He's saying there, I get called a racist because I'm trying to help Black people. That seems like an intellectually honest diagnosis of what's going on right there. That's probably why people are criticizing you. So because of that long racist screed that he goes on, he gets canceled from all of these different places. Dilbert isn't going to be, I almost called it Gilbert. You know why? Because it doesn't matter, nobody cares. Dilbert isn't gonna be like on these places anymore or whatever. So he is going through a little bit of, in real time, attempt to cope with this. So we're gonna go through some of his tweets. I want your responses. So one of the more recent ones was, Dilbert has been canceled from all newspapers, websites, calendars, and books because I gave some advice everyone agreed with.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think that's what happened. Like, what way is this to live your life that again, I guess it's a conservative thing to do. You craft a fictional reality for yourself in which everything you have ever done is indisputably right. You refuse to not only grow and change or even apologize, you refuse to just acknowledge that you might have misstepped in some way, that maybe some of the horrific things you believe should have stayed inside of you rather than coming out. It gets worse potentially, but what do you think?
I mean, I think it's interesting that, again, he had a cushy ass job that he was coasting along in. And here's the funny thing about the internet and just in general, and I realize we say this on a show where you and I talk about things for a living, but you don't have to talk about things. Like, you can also always, like, option D, shut the F up. You know, like, that's like always option D for Dilbert, shut the F up. You can coast along. I mean, you look at Trump and you're like, bro, you had it so good. You could have just not run for office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everything could have been fine. And he says that himself. So I guess that's my feeling is very much like, it's this, like, again, an elitism, usually white dudes with a lot of money who feel perfectly comfortable to run their mouths. Interestingly though, he wasn't like sort of like his star wasn't on decline. I mean, he was still being run in newspapers. He wasn't doing this to like find an edge on Fox News and for people to think he was relevant anymore. He's just saying this because he's bored.
Yeah, like he
and racist. Don't get me wrong, racist.
Definitely. Yes. He lucked into a situation where they've been publishing his thing for years and years and years and years and years. I'm sure some people were fans of it or whatever, especially in the 80s.
Yes.
And he could just keep making money off of it, even though, like, what is the idea that, like, people are buying the newspaper to see it? Again, I don't begrudge people for, like, Dilbert or whatever. I there are some comics I really like. Penny Arcade is something I've been reading for, like, the better part of 20 years or whatever. But you had that setup, and you just had to keep trying. Like, that wasn't good enough for you. He wants to be a right-wing a-hole on the internet. That's the career that he actually wants. Well, that's what you're getting. Why do you think, or at least pretend that you think, that you can have that and do the thing where you're a part of civil society? A civil society that you despise and undermine at every turn. That's not actually how it works. Anyway, he goes through more of this mental copium. We're at the phase in which people are hallucinating they disagree with me, but they can't name the disagreement. Sometimes where there is smoke, there's just steam from a dryer vent. Have you been huffing dryer vent steam? Is that what is going on? They're hallucinating they disagree, but they can't name the disagreement. That the races should separate from each other. I landed on it and won. I think that's part of it. I think that's core to the disagreement.
Yeah, right there.
He posted a video of CNN canceled me for agreeing with Don Lemon. Again, something about Don Lemon, who is notably, for the purpose of this conversation, a black man.
Yeah.
Criticizing the black community, which is a thing that I think he's allowed to do and Scott Adams isn't, for reasons that we can get into if we need to. I don't think it's necessary. He thinks that that makes it okay. But think about the position that Scott Adams is in here. He can't even do the thing where they're like, I have a black friend. He's doing the thing where I have a black enemy, and that's supposed to make me, that's supposed to make everything okay. That's not, again, none of this is how anything works. But he's trying to spin this sort of thing where it's, again, he doesn't want to attack black people for being mad at him or whatever. So he's spinning this like new right wing anti-woke thing in this tweet. I've lost three careers to direct racism so far. I don't know what those first two are, but eventually cartooning.
Oh,
all three were perpetrated by white people for their own gain. No black person has ever discriminated against me. That's partly why I identified as black for several years. The idea there is this is about white liberals, okay? I don't have a problem with black people, although I'm gonna remind you that I identified as black for several years. So he desperately wants to project this aura of him as a victim and definitely not as a racist, but he keeps undercutting it by some of the most horrendous racist things I've seen in a long time. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No black person has ever canceled me. I mean, I haven't spoken with a black person ever. No black person has been my boss at these major media companies and newspapers, you know, because obviously the boards and the leadership are not full of black Americans. It's just like, It is so weird though that this is exactly, I think, what a lot of white racists do, which they believe that it's all white liberals' fault, right? That actually the real issue isn't black people. They're being, you know, they're fine. They're over there separate from me. It's the white liberals who don't like that I'm like so-called telling it how it is. It's like, bro, you're not telling it how it is. Nobody agrees with you on that. And you should have kept your mouth shut and stop. Like, again, it's because it's just like I understand. It almost feels Kanye-esque to me, and I don't want to belabor that too much. But it's just like Kanye has interfaced with like a lot of people in Hollywood, right? And he has interfaced with Jews in the industry, and so suddenly he, in his little anti-Semitic brain, and who's like really very small, is like, all Jews run this and that. And it's like, okay, so that's a terrible sample size. And it's same thing with the Dilbert guy, with this guy. He's just like, he is projecting this tiny little world that he sees, but his tiny little world is, again, never interacted with African Americans in his goddamn life.
Yeah, 100%. We'll see how he's gonna be on Fox News all night. I'm
sure.
Assuming would be my guess, all over it. But I want to turn to another. So it's not enough that Scott Adams gets to, you know, present himself as this massive racist. Others want to get them some of that. So let's jump into this. In the wake of Scott Adams having Dilbert be, you know, pulled from newspapers because of his racist rants or whatever, there are a lot of people on Twitter, right wingers, who are defending him. One account, Monitoring Bias, tweeted, Adams was horrified that a poll of black people showed only half believe it's okay to be white. It was more than half, and less than only a quarter said that it wasn't. It's pointless to try to talk to these people. He called this hate and recommended white people live far away from blacks. MSM verdict: Adams is a racist, but not the 20 million black people who think it's not okay to be white. Well, to be fair, those polled black people who responded to that presumably did not have cartoons in the Washington Post. So the Washington Post was really defenseless in terms of their ability to pull those cartoons. So again, there's a bit of a difference. Anyway, that's not important, the monitoring bias thing. I mean, if you're interested, it's basically an account that just tries to pluck statistics and create a narrative where white people are the biggest victims of racism in the country. So why shouldn't it get a direct reply from the guy who owns the platform, Elon Musk, who replies to that group, the media is racist, and then expounds on that saying, for a very long time, US media was racist against non-white people. Now they're racist against whites and Asians. Same thing happened with elite colleges and high schools in America. Maybe they can try not being racist. See, they're not the racist, Francesca, because now it's flipped. They would, they totally would have cared about the racism against non-white people before, but we're past that, so they don't need to do anything. Now it's all about the new racism that they get to be crusaders against. What do you think?
You have no words for someone, people who live in such a petri dish of their own privilege, right? Like they literally were born yesterday. Every morning is a new day for them. And they're like, let's open the curtains. I don't see a racism today. A racism does not exist. Ergo, like, come on, object permanence. What are you doing? And I'm sorry. Stop lumping in Asians with all your white nationalist BS, Elon. And let's keep it 100. Absolutely, there are Asian Americans in this country who have been, let's say, chanting down affirmative action, right? And trying to effectively, and look, Wajahat Ali got in trouble for talking about Nikki Haley in this way, but kind of running cover for white nationalists and using their model minority status, as we Asians are often uplifted into that status, as a way to punch down at the black and Latino community. That is real. Keep us out of your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, there's also obviously absolutely horrendous anti-Asian racism coming, not just from the editor of the New York Times or whatever, but I don't know, like the president and the MAGA movement, mass murders and random beatings on the streets. Maybe the Dilbert guy hasn't been seeing those videos, but they're happening. Nope. That's racism too. Maybe speak out against that. By the way, just a reminder, because we got some advice from Elon Musk there saying maybe they can try not being racist. And I think we should take this seriously because he's obviously a genius. I would turn that around though and say, maybe you could consider that, because I will remind you there has been a longstanding lawsuit against Tesla from black Tesla employees describing a systemic culture of racism at that company. And I know that you might have forgotten this, viewers, in the wash of sexual harassment allegations there against Tesla, against him individually. I'll remind you, he offered a woman a horse, Google it. But anyway, it's easy to throw out that advice when one of the wealthiest men on the planet, the platform owner of Twitter, ended up reading and replying to that, like, white people are victims of racism Twitter account. That is what he is actually spending his day doing, signal boosting people like that.
No, anyway. He's a white nationalist. Elon Musk is a white supremacist. He's a white nationalist. That much is clear. And now he owns one of the largest social media platforms in our country that helps keep us connected and/or virulently trolled and doxxed. So, hey, what are we gonna do? Break up big tech, truly. I don't care who you have to work with. Hold Republicans accountable for all their noise that they make about how tech is biased against them when we know that's not true. But do it. Like, make some moves on these MFers, because I'm so tired of his crap.
We're gonna take our first break, everyone. When we come back though, we couldn't come back from the weekend without a Monday Menace. We'll have it for you after this. How dare you all? Okay, we'll get to more of your comments. How dare you? In just a little bit. But first, I think I hear a Monday Menace approaching.
These are the very same geneticist core principles embodied by Nazism and Adolf Hitler. And this should be something that is sickening and alarming to every single Democrat and every single American. We have seen where this philosophy can lead.
So regrettably too late for us to cover on our Friday edition of the Damage Report. That was what Tulsi Gabbard chose to deploy to get a little bit of cred on Fox News, saying that because the Biden administration, you're gonna have to follow me, this is a little bit of a leap of logic, doesn't just have white people in their cabinet, ergo they Nazis. That is the case that she decided to make to a Jesse Waters, who of course had neither the inclination nor the constitution to push back against that insanity at all. But I wanna give you her more fuller remarks. Here is what she said leading up to that declaration that Dark Brandon's a Nazi overlord.
Their philosophy, identity politics. And this is one of the main reasons why I left the Democratic Party, because you're seeing how their agenda of identity politics is directly undermining the traditional democratic values that were expressed so beautifully and clearly by Dr. Martin Luther King, that we should judge each other not based on the color of our skin, but based on our character. And yet, as you have displayed here over and over with example after example, they're proud to be judging people, hiring people, selecting people based on race, which is really, let's be clear how serious of a problem this is. It's based on genetics, race, based on your blood, your genes.
So it's not enough for her to be like, this is woke, you shouldn't do it, and then throw in a little bit of implying that people, as she did there, are only getting selected for that they're obviously not qualified. Oh, and also when literally every other president, including Donald Trump, just packed it full of like white corporate cronies, that there was nothing wrong with that, certainly nothing Nazi-ish about that. That was fine. It's not identity politics to only allow white people in your cabinet, but as soon as you stop doing that, it's immediately identity politics.
Because John, let's be real, it's merit-based when it came to the Trump administration, Jared Kushner piece in the Middle East. Like, it's just, the carrying water. You look, man, Fox News and the far right doesn't even have enough slots for women and people of color, Tulsi, for you to fill one of them. So stop carrying their water. They don't care about you. They will never care about you. They want to use you as a tool. And look at her. She's so proud to be used as a tool for the right. And honestly, I say every person who knew that Tulsi was trash from the beginning, Kasparian, myself, you better Venmo us a dollar. I want a TBR-Live. That is my Venmo. You Venmo me. If you were a Tulsi stan and you've changed your ways, all I need is a buck. But if I had a dollar for every time she said something ridiculous and that we called, my God, I could, I could have some money in what
you
I'm saying
is. Get a shamrock shake.
I gotta get a shamrock shake, damn it. She's just, It's so disgusting to me that it's never identity politics when it's white people. It's only identity politics when it's people of color and women. And again, this is the way that they're trying to trick us. And they're specifically trying to trick the so-called left and folks who are susceptible to believing that there's only one axis of struggle, which is economic. As if Fox News ever actually puts any action behind their words when they claim to be populist or they claim to care about working people. No, they don't. They don't talk about labor unions. They don't talk about any of that. It's all bait. It's all bait to say inclusivity doesn't matter. Having women on your cabinet doesn't matter. Having people of color in your cabinet doesn't matter. And I think the left needs to strongly say it absolutely matters. It does. And there is way more to it as well. It is what they're doing. It is what their record is. And it's not if they are like Tulsi and carrying water for the same white supremacist patriarchal BS system that she so gleefully does now.
100%. Yeah, this is what you say to get this network, which is like the digital embodiment of white grievance politics. That is all that it is. I mean, that's not why it is. Why it is to protect the wealthy, stop corporate regulations and tax cuts. But what it is white grievance politics. That's it. Every single day, Tulsi Gabbard knows that. She knows what she's doing to be put to get to appear on TV, maybe to sell some books or promote a podcast or whatever. That's a decision that she's making, and to roll out Nazi comparisons over that. I don't know. I mean, look, honestly, when I think of Nazis, I don't immediately think of diverse representation at the highest levels of government, making sure you have women and members of the LGBTQ community. That doesn't strike me as especially Nazi-ish, but she was able to get there mentally. I want to remind you, though, this ain't the first time she's stretched to call the Biden administration Nazis. You know, back in October of last year, when she was campaigning for Don Bolduc. Hey, remember when she was campaigning for some of the worst conspiratorial Republicans around? Thankfully, he failed. She was doing this speech, and she said that because Biden had recently warned about the authoritarian tendencies among some on the right, she declared him very similar to Hitler. They share a common mindset.
My God.
That was what she said. By the way, she was campaigning for a guy who says that the vaccine is just Bill Gates putting microchips in people, and he pushed the litter boxes in schools thing. So that's who she was stumping for, as well as Carrie Lake and Herschel Walker and all of those. But again, it's whatever. Whatever I need is Biden being a Nazi. And by the way, really fast, take a look at the logic in that. Mm-hmm. Biden gave that speech saying, I'm worried about the normalization of extremism. And she said, how dare you do that? It is so bad to declare that the other side might be authoritarians that I'm gonna call you Hitler, which is exactly what you're saying we shouldn't do. Like, internally to that argument, you're doing the very thing that you think makes one Hitler.
I have a bit about, I don't do it as much anymore, but like that the right like believes that racism works like farts, like whoever smelt it dealt it, you know? And it's like, that's not how farts work.
No.
Nobody tattles on themselves. Farts do not work like that. It's whoever denied it, supplied it. We all know that to be true. And the same is for racism. Farts are very much like racism. And also, there's no such thing as reverse fart, all right? There's no such thing as reverse racism, y'all. Racism is a structure, it's an institution. Yes. And until, like, these people is like we've been living in Wakanda for too long. Like, we don't live in Wakanda, sadly. All right. Yeah. And until we do, and there's, you know, 500 years of Wakandan genocide against a white minority, then we can talk. But I don't see that happening.
By the way, I definitely think that you should write a children's book explaining the concept of racism through an extended fart analogy.
Oh,
I think that could be pretty good.
Oh, that's a dare. That's a double dog dare.
I will be doing that. Okay. I would love to see the first of many Bituation Room books.
That's gonna be great.
Okay. With that, we're gonna jump into another topic, other important stuff going on besides just whatever Tulsi Gabbard has chosen to become. It's amazing what a tight election can do to a politician. A politician like Tate Reeves here, he just this weekend did a massive about face on a pretty important topic. It has to do with Medicaid coverage for women who have given birth. He now says, this is the first time ever, that he wants the state to allow a full year of Medicaid coverage to any woman after giving birth. And so he says he's willing to do that as quote of part our new pro-life agenda. He said more babies will be born because the US Supreme Court upended abortion rights nationwide last year with a case that originated in Mississippi. Bear in mind, Mississippi is one of the poorest states in the country, and about 60% of births in Mississippi are to women covered by Medicaid. The state usually allows 2 months of postpartum Medicaid coverage, which of course is not much. Now, this is amazing because look at what's happening. He said there are gonna be more births because of the Supreme Court decision, so maybe we should make sure that they're covered. That is likely to be true and a good way, one good way to deal with it. He says we're gonna do this because of our pro-life thing. This would be ideologically consistent with that. All of this on surface level makes perfect sense. He's never done it before, no other Republican has done it. And so I think it's probably important to bear in mind that according to a Mississippi Today Siena College poll last month, Reeves was just up 4 points on a challenger. That puts the race within the margin of error. Has a 54% unfavorable rating, probably coming from the Brett Favre volleyball facility scandal that we've covered multiple times. So again, I don't know that we can necessarily trust Francesca that they're actually gonna do this long term. But take a look at, once he's worried about losing re-election, he's now got some empathy. He's tying it to his ideology in a way that seems shallowly consistent. It's pretty amazing. What do you think?
I think it is obviously a disgusting, cynical ploy, and the entire the pretending to care about women and poor women now that you're forcing people to give birth is really rich. And it's really important to remember that Mississippi, like I believe 12 to 14 other red states, have not expanded Medicaid under the ACA. Part of Obamacare was getting the federal government, again, not your pocketbook, the federal government pays for 90% of expanded Medicaid. So in Mississippi, that would be 700,000 people, including women and including poor kids, including people on disability, could receive Medicaid. And because it was Obama, these states have said, no, we will not expand Medicaid. And so ironically, if they want to now, because they, you know, they want to do the Handmaid's Tale bait and switch for forced birthing, if they want to now expand Medicaid, they have to ask for a waiver from the federal government because they are non-compliant under the ACA as it stands. I mean, it is absolutely wild to me. You know, so if you're like, oh, I'm sorry, can we get you to admit that the ACA was a good program and people did like it and you should have expanded this anyway? Again, I'm happy to get there to expand Medicaid if it means more young mothers, more mothers getting coverage who can't afford healthcare. But that doesn't mean that obviously the fight for reproductive rights ends at all in Mississippi nor anywhere.
Yeah, not at all. And who knows? If he wins re-election, he can cancel it or not actually push for it. Like, these are just promises, bear in mind. I also want to remind people, maybe this affects one of you, maybe it affects someone that you know. We're about to begin a period where states are going to begin checking people's eligibility for Medicaid for the first time in 3 years. So normally this is a thing that would be done. They would be checking to make sure based on your work history, how much you make, whether you actually qualify. During the pandemic, that was stopped temporarily. So people were able to stay on in some cases that wouldn't have under the previous system. Now, because they're gonna start doing those eligibility checks again, as many as 14 million people are estimated to potentially lose access to the coverage that they have right now. So,
yes. Wait. You have to know that in 2021, I'm sorry to do this background check right now, in 2021, Mississippians voted to expand Medicaid anyway. This is obviously in the end, you know, in the wake of the pandemic, of course, but they, like many of these red states where their governors haven't expanded Medicaid access and their legislators haven't, they have done state ballot measures to try and expand Medicaid to help nearly a million people. And what happens? It gets invalidated. In Utah, they just the legislature completely overturned the people's will. In Mississippi, they got enough signatures, but then they said that because of a 2020 Supreme Court ruling, which I believe is around whether there is a, you know, that Obamacare and the requirement to have healthcare is legal or not, the state government effectively suspended that ballot initiative and said there shouldn't be a vote on it, even though there were enough signatures to put it on the ballot because of that 2020 ruling from the Supreme Court. So, like, their people, again, the people want it. The people in these red states want healthcare. And,
they do. You know. They've been very clear about that in a lot of different places. And unfortunately, Republican governors have stopped them from getting it.
Yeah.
And voter suppression has stopped those populations from getting a politician that will actually prioritize their interests. Okay, we're gonna take our second break. We come back though, some investigations may soon be launched in the House. We're gonna give you the rundown after this. I don't think that Anderson Cooper has to put up with this from his audience, everyone. Anyway, let's jump
in. I mean, if you wear a tight crew neck, we will shut up. Sorry, was that too much, too fast, too strong, too soon?
I'm just getting hit from a lot of
Is it possible to me too? Okay. You? Can I get fired?
Anyway, I'll talk to Dave and we'll see what we can do. With that said, why don't we jump into our next story? Apparently, rail investigations are actually coming following the disastrous derailment of a train in East Palestine. The House is going to be looking into it. Multiple House committees gaming out what are considered to be aggressive hearings on the Biden administration's response to the train wreck in Ohio, including how the government supervises giant rail companies. And isn't this the only way that this could happen? So you have an actual crisis, it's train derailment. The House is gonna investigate it, but the part they're gonna investigate is something, something Biden. They have no interest whatsoever in the rail company. Why the rail company had a 1.5 mile long train. Why we still don't know what chemicals were actually on that. Why they only had 2 employees. Why they hadn't upgraded the safety features, including the brakes. All this stuff, the lobbying they've done to get the government to go easy on them. No interest whatsoever. An actual crisis, and it is, of course, only an opportunity to criticize Joe Biden. And if you wanna do some of that, I'm actually perfectly happy to do that. I've been doing it in a lot of our videos. But take a look at what the Republicans do. They get into office and it's all running coverage for corporations. Francesca, what do you think?
No, exactly. And look, if they're gonna criticize Joe Biden for preemptively breaking the strike of rail workers, that's fine. They voted for that strike breakage as well. So if they're gonna hold themselves accountable to like, hey, why did we listen to Biden when he was trying to break this strike with these workers who want paid sick leave? Yeah, we should redo that vote. Like, I'm all for it. Have at it, right? And if Buttigieg, if you wanna criticize Buttigieg for not coming down harder on the rail companies again and not reversing the rollback, so reinstating some of these the regulations, please, please do it. But that's not what they're gonna do. They're trying to paint this as like somehow Biden's Hurricane Katrina response. And it's like, no, it's not. It wasn't Biden who went and was like, yeah, here's what we're gonna do, Jack. We're gonna burn these chemicals. You know, no malarkey, malarkey being all these chemicals, burn them. Like, he didn't. It was the company that was able to not only get themselves and this town in this situation, but then deal with it in a way that arguably was way worse. Although, yeah. I don't know, might have seemed like a good idea at the time until there are radioactive squirrels coming out of trees and everything just feels like The Simpsons to me right now.
Yeah, I just hate it. James Comer, House Oversight and Accountability Chair, sent a letter demanding documents from Pete Buttigieg. Same day that Buttigieg was visiting it, saying the infrastructure failure that caused the derailment has led to an environmental disaster. Hey, look at, they're acknowledging environmental disasters.
Ooh, it exists.
The committee is deeply concerned by DOT's slow pace in resolving this matter. I don't even know what company was running that train, but I am very worried about what the Department of Transportation is doing.
Yeah, they're like, how could Biden do this to us?
This is why we so desperately need an actual progressive president and progressive governance, just briefly, to show people that you could have substantive, honest governance, that you could look into why didn't Buttigieg go there faster? I mean, that wouldn't have solved the problem, but it would have been reassuring at least. Why didn't the Biden administration push to re-implement the deregulation that the Trump administration had done? Those are perfectly legitimate questions, but also, why did the corporation do this would be a great question to ask, but you don't get that. You get this fake oversight, fake accountability that just serves to distract from the actual corporate responsibility that should be the main part of this conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just incredible also for Buttigieg, who like has aspirations to be president. Like, what did you do in a time of need in one of the biggest environmental disasters, corporate induced environmental disasters of our lifetimes? You went and just said, we need to work with business. We need them to come to the table. No, you say there needs to be a cap on the length of trains, like their maximum, whatever, 50 train cars, not 150 train cars, always 2 people, at least 2 people. We are absolutely demanding that there be some sort of accountability for the people. It can't just be $1,000 a resident. Like, you come in there strong, you lay down the law, and then what's Fox News gonna say, John? What's Fox gonna say that night? Oh, he's being tough on corporations. Let him. We know how that's gonna ring with actual people, including their viewership. Yeah. So it's just, again, they're so good at doing the right is so good at performative populism, and Democrats are so bad even at the performative part.
Yeah, no, if I could get one thing, maybe it would just be to get the conservatives to understand how they're being played,
yes,
like again, corporate pop, the populism of the right or whatever. So like DeSantis criticizing Disney for being too woke, that's not actual like accountability for corporations. That's not actual oversight. Like turning a blind eye to a what you're saying is a horrific environmental disaster is just maddening, man. Just maddening. Mm-hmm. Okay, really fast. Let's close out the hour with a story that I was actually clued into thanks to Jordan Yule. Whenever we're ready, why don't we jump into this?
Said there's on the post.
Home and abroad.
Again, welcome to
Anthem Local.
Everyone, I'm Laura Ingram. This is.
So that's a great ad put together by the PacMoveOn.org that would have potentially let some Fox viewers know about the insane two-faced nature of the hosts on Fox News, that they were saying one thing on air, you know, spreading the big lie, these conspiracy theories, letting people on the airwaves that they themselves were insulting as kooks and frauds and liars. Of course, the Fox viewers are not going to be seeing that ad because Fox has refused to play it. MoveOn was going to pay them. And they wouldn't do it. Francesca, what do you think?
I mean, with all the advertisers jumping ship, like take that money, baby. I mean, I think Fox News will eventually just be us running like, you know, opposition ads on their network because of all the insane things that people say on their network. I mean, this saga is ongoing. I'm very like kudos to Dominion and like they're taking them to task and taking them on this fight. It's a huge, huge thing. And here we have all this, now we have all these texts, we have all these communications, and they're damning as hell. And that was incredibly powerful. I like just having it on screen, the texts themselves, very simple. Everyone can read it. I mean, yeah. I think most Fox viewers can read it. I do think like some of those ratings are just people who have it on and like the dog is just on the couch watching and like, ugh, Jesse Waters again, you know.
But I think it's important for dogs to occasionally be exposed to what's really going on. I think this could have been a great moment for the conservative dogs of America.
That's true.
So look, I like this ad and I think my guess would be, and I don't have insider information. We know Jordan, you know, told us that they had tried to get this to run and they couldn't. My guess would be that they didn't go harder in the quotes to give it at least a chance of being played on Fox, because I would have focused on like Tucker Carlson calling Trump a demonic force and a destroyer and he could wreck us and how terrified they were of Newsmax replacing them. I feel like they went a little bit more reasonable just so that there would be a chance of it actually getting passed. And even then, look, obviously they're not gonna play something that's directly, you know, like criticize them or whatever, but I don't know, it's ridiculous that story came out and they didn't have to have any kind of reckoning whatsoever.
Huge story. But John, the Twitter files,
have no idea.
The Twitter files, let's get Matt Taibbi on the Twitter files. That story, yeah.
Yep. It's absurd. Absolutely absurd. And the vast majority of conservatives will have no idea that any of this happened. What percentage of Fox viewers know that on January 6th, Tucker Carlson was like, what we're seeing right here is the work of a demon. And then would go on to say publicly, oh, this is just, it's nothing. It's not, why are you worried about this? This thing that I thought was the work of a demon. It is so fundamentally hypocritical and they won't ever have to actually reckon with that. And that is unfortunate. But I love MoveOn doing this. I would love to see them do a whole string of these ads based on those quotes.
Yes, and we should remember this. Like I think it's so easy in like our media hellscape right now to just every day we move on to another thing and the new thing. We should never forget these texts. We should always periodically tweet that video out. Because who knows?
Yeah.
Folks may land on it and it's important to remember.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of the show, but the aftermath does remain. So to those on the linear platforms on the podcast, thank you so much for watching and or listening. But if you're on Twitch or YouTube members app, a whole bunch of different stuff. We've got environmental activist and author David Fenton joining us in just a little bit. We're going to talk about elves in Mexico and Marjorie Greene's workout routines after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.